This is James Fritz, and you're listening to The Tony Soto Show.
And I am your host, Tony Soto. James Fritz,
Tony
thank
Soto.
You so much for that brilliant introduction. Comedian, funny guy, southern, heterosexual. See, James Fritz is proof that I can tolerate heterosexuals somewhat.
One at a time.
Welcome to the gay show, Fritz. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Well.
Oh, we are all surviving the best we can, Fritz. You know what I mean? The world keeps spinning even though we can't afford it. How are you? This is your first time on the Tony Soto Show.
It is. It's an honor to be here. Big fan of the Tony Soto and the show.
Thank you. I didn't know if you listened to this one. I know you listened to the Gay Power Half Hour.
Yeah, I dabble.
You hate listening to the Gay Power Half Hour. You are a stand-up comedian who is living in Los Angeles. You were born in Kentucky.
Wow, you did.
I did do it right. I only say Arkansas to get your goat. Do those states even touch?
No, but my home state and your home state do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the lower half of Illinois.
You stole Lincoln from us.
I'm sorry, I live in the middle. The down, you keep your hands out the down. You know what I mean?
You might as well be Paducah.
No.
You know it.
Hey, I know people from Paducah, all right? There are some good people from Paducah.
Oh, for sure.
So how long have you been doing stand-up, Fritz?
Oh, boy. Like, I don't know, 16, 17, 18 years?
What got you into it? Because I have a guess.
I lost a bet.
I have a guess that Kentucky is a state that, like, if you're not laughing, then you're probably still there.
I want to know what they laugh at.
But what got you into comedy? Because you were a valedictorian in your school. You should be better. You shouldn't
no,
be a comedian.
This is pretty good. This is pretty. I got out.
Yeah, but what was it? Why comedy? What started it?
Oh, man, I was always obsessed with comedy, and, like, I knew I was a weird kid because I would tape. I'm old. I would take a VHS tape, and, like, I had a super cut
of
Coming to America. No, I was not. I did not grow up a performer. We didn't have those.
I thought you were, like, making little movies, little James Fritz movies where you're a pirate cracking jokes.
Oh, my Lord, they would have sent me to, like, camp to shut that out of me.
What would you record? he's a little gay. Comes off a little queer.
I would paint the football.
What were you recording? VHS recording?
I was saying, like, everything. Like, I was addicted to, like, Letterman when he was still on Late Night, and then when he moved to CBS, and Conan. I remember I watched Conan from episode one, and I would, like, tape it every night and then, like, watch it. I had collections of tape. I was a virgin until college, I guess is what I'm really saying. But I was crazy about comedy. Like, I had a super cut of Coming to America. I knew that movie so well, but I didn't give a fuck about the romance subplot, but, like, just all the barbershop and preacher scenes. I knew when they would come on, so I would watch it and, like, hit record. So I had a super cut of just the funny shit of Coming to America.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, the funniest 45-minute movie you've ever seen in your life.
Now,
but yeah, I was just a junkie for it. I don't know. I don't know why.
But here's the thing. I feel like there's a thing about being funny, which I think you're funny.
Thank you.
Naturally, because, you know, we hang out.
Yeah.
However, I think that there is something that catapults you when you are writing funny. And you can craft a joke.
I was a writer.
So what?
I thought I was going to be, like, a serious writer, like a poet.
Let's start there, shall we?
A serious fan in, like, sixth grade.
Who?
Bob Dylan.
Oh,
Chalamet's making a movie about him. You'll learn.
Who? Yeah, I don't care about. I don't.
British.
He played Wonka, didn't he?
Hey,
that
Wonka.
Guy. No one cares. I'm not one of those gays. I know who
you're
Bob.
You're not a Wonka gay.
I know who Bob Dylan is. I think they made a musical about him. I guess I am that gay. So wait, James Fritz thought that he was gonna be a poet. Were you gonna write sonnets and fall in love?
No, like, you know, like.
Angsty shit where you sad talking,
like,
about dark
Bukowski.
Oh, okay.
The real trash shit.
You know, my first introduction to Charles Bukowski was a play that was written about him, I think. And I was like,
what play?
I'll have to get back to you.
Well, the movie's great. Barfly, if you've ever seen Barfly, it's fantastic.
No, I saw it, or maybe it was one of his plays. Is that a thing? Did he write plays?
I think so. I mean, he just scribbled.
Yeah, dark guy. So okay, so that's the vein. So yeah. So just for our listeners to have a little context, my good friend James Fritz here shows up with a tall can of Coors, not light, because we're having a party, and a little tiny plastic bottle of fucking Fireball. Now,
we found a dead rat in the crawl space today. After
and we're drinking that away, so apparently, as a result.
I texted you. Can we drink?
I did not know that people our age drank Fireball still. Is this the poet in you?
I knew I was getting on a gay show. I thought this is what you guys
drank.
Well,
that'd be a clear liquor, all right, with a squeeze of lime. All right.
This is way too many calories.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong gay. I've been intermittent fasting for 8 months.
We know. Is it your bedtime yet?
Starving and I'm tired. Okay, so I'm real caught up on this writing thing because I didn't know. So poetry, short stories?
Oh, yeah, that was my short stories were
like Ragamuffin Kids, like Lost in the Woods, fighting for their lives.
No, what? That's a long story. Ragamuffin Kids.
Look, I don't know how you live in Kentucky. All I know is I'm assuming it's a lot of ragamuffins.
Well, we don't write at all.
So in the woods.
Take Kentucky out of your mind. It's not like,
so
write poems about plows.
So I feel like writers are kind of serious. So I feel like there was a moment in your life where you were like, maybe
well,
not.
I was scared.
What was it?
To be a comic, because I think it was more the performance. I grew up in a dry county. We didn't even have a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had a video, like, it was that Southern Baptist. Like, we had a video store come to town once, and they had a softcore room, and the church ran the video store out of town. I'm not kidding. It's Footloose shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't grow up so my stage fright was insane. That's why I didn't start comedy till I was almost like 27. I was so scared.
Well, how old are you now?
On stage. 29.
Do you feel it's a rough 29, yeah, listeners. Yeah. I'm glad it's audio. wait. So that's late.
Yeah.
So what was it? Now, I'm a natural performer, so I don't really get
I've had dinner with you. We know.
I don't really get stage fright.
You're afraid to not be on it.
is no one looking at me?
Is this real life?
Like, I'm wondering, because if you start out as a writer, I don't feel like writers are really known to be like upfront in the forefront. But then you chose, like, you know, they'll do a chapter read or whatever, which is great at a bookstore. No one's going to those.
You don't mean comedy writers. You just mean
No. But what I'm saying is, like, but to go from someone to be a little introverted to something that is completely.
Well, I was obsessed with stand-up. So okay. I always wanted to be one. It was literally just the stage fright and not knowing how to perform. Like, you were not. The only time I'd perform before I did stand-up was I was the butler in My Fair Lady, and my best friend, who was very performative, who like came up in theater, one of my best friends, like he was the main guy, and Henry Higgins.
Is that so? Yeah.
And
sorry.
I was the butler, and he was the lead, and we were like, we're gonna do this funny thing where we're like, do like a proper high five, and I knocked over the fucking fireplace set. I mean.
Oh,
it was straight,
no.
Like Corky St. Clair.
So still funny though, right? Funny. But not funny for the right things. But you got to laugh. Did you like that? And
my first 5 years in comedy, I was just knocking over sets,
just spilling beers and shit. Does this make you laugh? Well, what was that
What?
Like the first time you were like,
was
it a mic?
Drunk. I was blackout.
Oh and, God, it's such a white thing. You're such a white man.
Yeah,
I was blackout. You don't even remember your first time, do you?
No, I
in
was
any
that
capacity.
Scared. I remember. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to remember this. Wait, maybe not.
Yeah, drink up, baby. So, did you have to have people give you feedback because you couldn't remember?
No, my friends made me go up because they knew I wanted to do it. And I was friends with comedians. And so, like, I made a promise to myself. Like, back then I wasn't suicidal. But I said, like, But I knew my stage fright was so bad. I knew I had to do this fucking thing. I was obsessed. I was obsessed with stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Again, since a kid, because I was watching, I would watch every, like, because back then there was, like, a late night stand-up show, like, on every channel.
And there was, like, you know, the iconic shit, like, Eddie Murphy.
But anyway, trying to paint me as a homophobe. I see what you did there.
Listen, I still like that special, even if he says faggot.
You hate gay people.
Yeah, well, most part. Yeah. You think I hate straights? Get my opinions on the gays.
Oh, I've heard the straight hour. Anyway. But what was the question?
I don't. Oh, yeah. The first time.
Yes. So, like, I told myself I'm going to kill myself by the time I turn 27 if I haven't gotten on stage. Just as a way to be like.
Just to set a goal. Yeah, absolutely.
Sack up and do this thing you want to do forever.
Or kill yourself. Which one? Or you have to do comedy.
And I was like, I honestly did it before a couple months before, because I was like, oh man, what if I get injured and I'm in a hospital bed for like.
So were you sitting on jokes?
Yeah, I was like going to open mics.
Oh, so you were doing.
And like, but no, like watching. I was.
Oh,
like,
you were just a little creep hanging out in the corner watching people fucking make funny?
They were open mics in Chicago. They loved me.
Oh, that's right. You were in Chicago at this time.
Oh, yeah.
When did you go? When did you move to Chicago?
It was before Stand Up Boom Part 2, you know? It was like the open mic would be like Kinane, Matt Bronger, Nick Vatterott, Kumail, TJ Miller, Redacted. And like, you know, just.
I never know the names of the people you all talk about.
This isn't for you. This is for the audience. I'm on a
group. Okay, good. Yeah, there is an audience. I'm on a group chat with asshole, and I'll tell you, him and Alan Strickland Williams and Sam Giorgio and fucking Casey Lai, all they do is just name drop these random white names. These random white names like Craigs and Todds and Jims. And I'm like, I don't know these
people.
Kumail
Nanjiani, classic.
Oh, I know
white
her.
Name.
She's a Marvel girl now.
It's a man.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, right. Gay she. Gotcha. Yeah. You literally were that confused.
Wait, how quickly did you move to Chicago from Kentucky?
Right after college. Again, I was valedictorian, so I only did it to get out of my hometown. So I got a scholarship to Western Kentucky University.
Okay.
Moving on up.
Well, to the side.
Yeah. Hey, we were an hour from Nashville.
Hey, my first college was 30 minutes from my hometown.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I
but
get
it was
it.
Out.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, rich kids out here can't conceive of that. But like, to me, it was like, I'm out.
No,
you
I
know,
get
I
you.
Got out of that fucking small town. And then, yeah, so like I was one credit shy, so I had to stay like an extra month or two.
For like drank a little too much your first semester. Sleep in a little too late.
Summa cum laude, don't judge. But again.
Yeah, but in Kentucky, how impressive is that?
I can't even brag about my accomplishments. Yeah, the bars
you mean you put a square in a fucking square shape? Great. Good job. Proud of you, babe.
I picked out the right color gingham.
So wait, when you got into Chicago, that's when you started meeting comics and you were going to mics and being a weird voyeur.
I was just hanging out. I was like, he'll, you know, country mouse in the city. Uh-huh. I love comedy, so I would just go. And, you know, you check the local weekly and it'd be like, here's where it is. And it was. And there was a really good one right down the street from me. And I would go there every Monday night. And it would be like 3 hours. And it was good comics, mostly like, you know, trying to make each other laugh.
Chicago is a great town for comedy. I think it's still, excuse me, I think it still
is. But now stand-up is so much bigger. Back then, it was still, literally, if you told anyone you did comedy in Chicago, they'd be like, improv? Like, it was the only city where that was the
case. And then I would bleed out in front of them. Never! Would I look like a theater actor, you fucks? So you're getting wasted. You're at a...
No, my friend signed me up.
For the open mic.
Two comedy friends of mine.
Got it. And you're just sitting there
women.
Drunk.
See, again, women.
They're the worst. Absolutely.
Now I'm here.
Don't get... You think I'm fucking straight, weird with the straights and the gays. Don't get me started on the women, friends. They gotta go. Unless they're making more gays. So you're sitting there, you're drunk, you're having a good time, and then all of a sudden, what, you hear your name, like a bad karaoke night? They're like,
yeah.
Wow.
And like, they're looking at me like, we signed you up.
Did you poop?
Don't do it.
Did you poop a little? Did you feel like pooping?
Nerves
I hear make you feel like pooping. I don't know. I don't get it.
That was a you confession.
I don't get nervous. I barely poop. I don't eat.
I don't exist. I'm a cloud. I'm an idea. Just keep going.
A good one. A good idea.
But yeah, and all I remember really is like, oh my God, I'm not dead. The world didn't fucking crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
Do you remember anyone laughing? Do you remember a joke that you told?
Oh, like, I don't remember a joke. But then I ended up, you know, but then I hosted a three-hour open mic every week for the next
directly like, after. 8 years. Like, yeah. You're, like, you literally, like, a gay guy on Halloween. Time. You just needed to be put in drag once, and then you're like, I'm a queen now. Exactly. This is what I do.
Now I'm an aging queen.
Now, me too. Now, have you always been political? Like, yes. I would, have you always been,
I hate that
I
word.
I hate the word liberal because I don't, because I think liberals suck. Have you always been more progressive thinking?
Lefty.
Well, even that's a little loaded to me at this point. Liberal. I'm trying to be a socialist and a communist.
Oh, yeah, I'm a commie pinko
scum. So, like, have you always been a commie pinko scum?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much. Since I was like, because I was, my mother fucked up by teaching me empathy.
Oh.
And raising me in the
church.
Oh,
yeah, no.
So one of those had to go pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, the one that doesn't have empathy, which is the church.
Right. The one that takes 10% of your money.
Yeah, yeah. Tithe, bitch, tithe.
For what? Hate speech? Nah, I'm good.
So did politics always find its way into your comedy?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, even in
Bill
Chicago,
Bill Hicks was huge for me.
Oh, R.I.P.
I mean, I know he's not like people were, like making fun of him now. I'm like, bitch, he died at 27.
Yeah,
91.
Wasn't. Yeah, and he was.
He's gonna use some words that don't sound great right now.
Yeah, but. And he was super revolutionary in my opinion at the moment. When you're a part of the 27 Club, you gotta respect them. You know what I mean?
But like, he was a guy with an accent who was smart as shit and angry and. You know, political, like overtly anti-war, like his Iraq war shit was, I mean, it's still relevant. It's still great.
I mean, like, if you're anti-war, I mean, like, look at some of the Carlin stuff now still.
Oh, yeah. You know? Try being anti-war now, Tony.
Well, we are. Well, we don't like it when the brown people are fighting. Like, that's what we don't like. But, you know, if it's something that we're propping up and wasting billions of dollars on. So how long did you live in Chicago and what was your catalyst to move to Los Angeles?
I lived there
'cause you don't seem happy.
You should have seen me in Chicago.
Well, you're not happy
and
in Chicago?
Retroactively, you should have seen me in Kentucky. I'm getting there. Another 5 lifetimes. I'll be all right.
So answer my question.
As he smokes,
I love at some point I smoke weed during the show, Fritz. And when I'm holding a microphone and marijuana, I need you to fill in the blanks. Most people get that idea, like, you know, when the fucker
you called out my booze, I'm calling out your little arm hole.
My one arm
hitter.
I'm just trying to get
have hard. A joint burning that you can just grab. What is this? Your first?
Anyway,
so what was the question?
What made you? Because, like, look, I was in Chicago for 13 years. I talked about moving to Los Angeles for probably 6 of my last 6 years of living in Chicago. I was talking about moving. Mm-hmm. I don't know what initially was like. I don't know initially what was the. Oh, I do. It was like I knew that there were much more talented drag queens that were on a trajectory in Chicago. Yeah. So I needed something new.
Oh, really? Okay.
What was it that made you come? Yeah, the drag was too. What was it that made you choose to move to LA?
They're funnier than all the comics. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. it was a similar thing where, like, I'm always like, oh, I should have moved 4 years before. But, you know, whatever. I was broke.
It's a comfortable town.
It is.
And we are poor folks from poor areas who really use money as, like, oh, I can't do that because.
Right. Yeah. And I was spoiled rotten. By the time I left Chicago, I mean, I was getting stage time like I would kill someone for right now. Because, you know, it was a smaller scene. I had, like, been established there. Yeah. And I was kind of, you know, I'd get written up in the paper occasionally and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know, in comedy, at least back then, it kind of felt like they're not going to take you seriously until you try New York or L.A. at least for a little bit.
And yeah.
I probably should have moved to New York, if I'm being honest. That's way more my vibe.
I mean, but you suffer more in New York.
I don't. I like suffering.
Yeah, I don't know that. You think you're broke now? Like move to fucking New York and like that. You're way more broke.
I don't know.
Well, so
I'm good at the shell game.
How long have you been here?
12 or 13.
So you've been here longer than
not
me.
Not the same as I've been in Chicago now.
Okay.
Longer, actually, now.
So let's talk pre-COVID LA to post-COVID LA, because
it's worse now.
Well, because like pre-COVID LA, you were, you know, you're still trying to, well, you were here long enough. Like, what is it like getting your foot in the door in that? Because like, look, we are two people who have watched a lot of our friends become successful around us.
Right.
And it's not like we're not in the similar games.
Yeah.
So like, I guess what I'm wondering is like, what, I guess, what did you expect out of LA when you first got here?
An iota of integrity.
Really? When has Hollywood,
iota,
when has
iota.
Hollywood ever given you that?
I didn't say Hollywood.
Well, why are we here?
Because 12 Chicago winners. I was getting really depressed.
Oh, you're here for, you're a snow bunny? Like, you're here for, you're here for the weather?
Look at me. I work out.
I mean, we have to have you. I mean, you had to have had some, like, okay.
No, well, I mean, I had a lot. I had more friends here at the time than I did in New York. Like, way more. Like, some close friends. Mm-hmm. And it felt like an easier transition. And literally, I was, like, at that point in Chicago, like, pretty. I was a little dark, and like, I was like, maybe some vitamin, is it D?
That's why, yeah, yeah. When you go outside.
Yeah. Which, maybe that would be.
Which is.
And it did work. It did work for a while.
For a while.
Yeah.
Like when you moved here, you were excited about LA.
Oh, yeah. I still, I don't know. It was way more fun back then too.
Pre-COVID.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So many more like just independent rooms and like one nighter fun, like off spaces and shit. And like. Those haven't come back since everything. Because the bars opened back up and they were like, we don't need comedy. People just want to come to a bar.
And I don't even know that that's the truth anymore. I don't think that people even want to go to bars anymore. Because, I mean, as a drag queen, like, it's hard to fill a bar now.
And everyone's broke as fuck.
Everyone's broke as fuck, yeah. Well, so post-COVID has been successful? Career-wise?
Well,
or where are you?
I'm here right now.
Where are you post-COVID? I mean, like, I know that, like...
I'm ready to move.
You're ready to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
So I'm getting there.
Really?
Yeah. Just to a more affordable place where I can, you know, make more shit and have more time to do creative stuff.
Is it still comedy? Like, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, always. I mean, but also maybe some other stuff. Like, I wrote a serious, I mean, I still put jokes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I wrote, like, a tribute to David Berman, one of my favorite musical artists. Like, I was part of a bunch of writers who wrote a thing on, like, the anniversary of his death and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself on that because it was the first, like, quote-unquote real writing I'd done in a while. And I was happy with it, and it felt good. But, yeah, comedy above everything. I still love stand-up.
You're controversial, though.
Everything about stand-up.
You're controversial for this town because you. I mean, like it's
a pussy ass town.
I mean, you.
Sorry for the gender.
I've seen you do political content, political current content. You were written up in the LA Times. Well, I'm not getting ousted by any Zionists.
Yeah, yeah.
There are no Zionists coming for me.
I just like the way you're pussyfooting around it. I mean,
well, look, listen, here's the thing. That is true. I try to keep this one a little less political, but when I have someone like you on it, you were written up recently in the LA Times, I believe. Because of your political comedy, do you think that is a hindrance for you?
Yeah, of course, because we're in the age of like streamers and everything's run by like, you know, tech corporations and not like, you know, Metro Goldwyn Mayer, like crazy guys who are like, I don't think that kid's got talent, you know. I'm sorry I did that voice, but no, everyone's scared of shit, especially the people spending the money on stuff. They want people who will ruffle feathers in a lazy anti-woke, you can't say anything, hack trans joke kind of way, because that's just clicks. But I mean, I know successful friends who have lost all their rep for posting very mild stuff, being like, maybe let's not eradicate a people.
How do you feel about like comedy these days, though, where it's like when it comes to like the idea that it was for pushing buttons, it was for pushing boundaries, it was for it was for making things aware, but now people say that it's just another political fucking...
Well, I think every art form in this country is really bad right now. I think this country's, you know, a dying empire. And instead of getting, you know, one thing I'll give the Brits is when they were a dying empire, they were like, maybe we should give our citizens health care. Like, soften the blow of a dying empire a little bit. But
we're not,
we've
there
just
yet.
Said, like, yeah, fuck it. We're Let's not turn yet. Up the heat on each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're angrier and you have no safety nets. And you make less. And a frozen pizza is $12.
Yeah.
Now what? Go. And if you, and if you fuck up, hey, you'll go to our prisons and you'll make us more money. And, like, I think comedy has just become another product, just like anything else. Like, what's weird about comedy, I was thinking about this the other day, is, like, the, like, chuds or who, like, think, you know, Dave Chappelle is edgy for doing a 20-year-old anti-trans street joke,
mm-hmm.
are the same people who are like, well, he's the most popular, so you're just jealous because he sucks. Or, like, he makes the most money. That means he's good. But they don't do that for music. They're not like, oh, Taylor Swift's a fucking badass. She makes the most money. She's number...
It's they do that in drag, though. They do that in drag, yeah. Well, like, honestly, like, man. It's the moment. Like, the moment a drag queen starts doing good, if they are kind of shitty, they'll let you know that they're doing good.
Oh, I'm talking about the fans, though.
Oh.
Like, the community.
Oh, no, that's true, too. I mean, yeah. Look, because when it comes down to it with drag, if you're not on that game show...
True.
Or if you're not game show bound,
right.
Then you're not a true right. professional.
Right.
So, did you ever think about doing like those?
Drag.
No. You could do it. Oh my God, you'd make it big. What if that was your it. Thing? What if you're the next okay. Dame Edna? Oh my God, I think that's so fucking funny.
Dame Edna.
Well, they were a heterosexual person, Dame Edna. They were a straight man who.
I don't know. That would make me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know, me too.
I mean, I want to wear the clothes and do the thing, but like being in that space.
Now I forgot what
taking
my question was, and I think it was a good. Oh, you could never. I really wish I remembered that question because it was almost revolutionary. But you know, that's what we do.
But we're out of time.
When I'm stoned, we're not out of time yet. Like, I'm wondering because it's like. Oh, have you ever thought about, like, doing, well, I don't know if they do it anymore, but when they did do it, what is that, Last Comic Standing or something like that? Does that still exist?
Sure, I'm sure they'd let me on a clean, non-political 5 minutes.
You can, I mean, you could, you, listen, here's the thing. You could adjust your shit. Can't
right,
you adjust
but it's
your
still
shit?
Dark.
But dark is fine. I think dark
not
is.
Not for NBC, it's 7 o'clock. It's the Peacock now.
Wait, have you auditioned for it? Have you submitted a tape to it?
No.
Okay, well, would you?
Sure.
Well, why don't you? See, this is the
it's
thing.
It's not on the air anymore.
Oh, is it not? You missed your boat. That was your drag race.
That was it.
That was your drag race, yeah. Babe.
No, I wanted to be like a fucking artist, you know? I was stupid. I should have been more business savvy.
Yeah.
Of course.
But that's a thing, because it's like...
But like, I would have never done it if that's the way I was attacking it. I was doing it as a thing, an art form that saved my fucking life.
Did
like
you think that
Tom Hillbilly?
Did you think that someone would see you at a club and be like, "That guy's got it"? Like, because, like, look,
I mean,
being from rural Illinois, that's what I thought
like
making
that,
it was. No,
like,
no, no. I believed that.
I,
like,
I mean, I did in the local scene in Chicago. I had like comedy people who wrote about comedy who really liked me.
Yeah, but it's a starter city. No one cares about a starter city.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Man,
that's why it's a second
in.
City, baby.
Real money comes in. It's yeah. like. How do you feel about this burned Palestinian child? And then they see if your eyes even flinch. And if they do, they're like, sorry, you're out.
Yeah, what if Starbucks came up to you right now and was like, hey, buddy, we got this spicy lemonades coming out. Here's some money. Are you there yet?
I'm
Are
like,
you
well,
there yet?
They did just support unionizing. So maybe. I
did they? Did they?
Yeah, after 3 years and the CEO dying.
I think about this all the time because it's like, you know, I have a commercial agent. You know, I go out for auditions. I mean,
they haven't hung themselves yet.
I don't submit to auditions that yeah. I know are like problematic.
Well, my manager just started taking clowning classes, so I should probably move. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you should probably move. I mean,
Detroit sounds good.
I mean, my yeah, it's up and coming.
Yeah.
It's only been up and coming for the last 50 years.
Same.
It's fine.
I'm the Detroit of comedy.
Oh my God. Well, listen, James, we just have three more things. I just have three more things. This is where I compiled some questions from just random things that have happened. Jesus Christ. I write it in marker, so please forgive me. Here we go. Question number one.
Oh my God. Yes.
You We're valedictorian of your one-room schoolhouse. USC is banning their Palestinian valedictorian from giving a speech because Zionists were mad. Thoughts?
She should have done what I did, which was my buddy Eric dared me. We were obsessed with Blazing Saddles. So he dared me to have the speech in my pocket and say, excuse me while I whip this out and then whip out the speech. No one laughed but him. Maybe that was my first performance.
Should have got the hint there.
Yeah. But I just want to say higher education is very important. And the, I mean, and they, this is, I can't believe a school would silence unpopular speech.
But I mean, but what do you feel about that though? Because it's like, it's not just silencing. It's not just silencing anybody. It's silencing someone who invested, I would imagine, money into that institution, did so well that she is considered to be the valedictorian, because I'm assuming that means she's got the highest GPA.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I was like a 3-point something forever. And then that was yoinked because of safety reasons. Is this the first time that they're protecting a Palestinian person?
That's how they sold it, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, but like when I was a bit of a rabble rouser in my dirt floor.
Told
hutch.
You were a ragamuffin. Mm-hmm. A rabble rousing ragamuffin.
They knew I hated the fucking superintendent and the vice principal and like how fucking lunk-headed that school was and how conservative and just anti-thought.
Didn't they just do something very anti-thought?
No,
recently?
I mean my home.
Your college.
Oh, that, no, this was my high school. And like, but they did come to me even as a high schooler and be like, we just want to make sure you're not going to say anything. And so then I, of course, did. But like, you know, that was a dunk hometown. But like, they didn't even let her speak, man.
Yeah.
They're like not even. It's bullshit. They should be deeply ashamed, but they can't. I mean, but what is even college now? I wish it. I love education. I wish college
was free.
Still matter. Yeah, it should be free. Because now it's a Ponzi scheme that puts you in debt, and that's it. What other purpose does it serve? It doesn't even get you a job much anymore. I find it hard to sell college if I had a kid. When I was younger, I would have been like, of course, go to college. Like, you'll get new experiences. You'll learn.
You know,
now
I'd
be like, no, fuck it. What are you, crazy?
One of the few things that I appreciate that my mother taught me was the lack of urgency in paying back debt. So I never I never think about my college education. I know that I owe them money somewhere in there, but I've never made a payment, and I never intend to.
If it had been free, I wouldn't have gone.
I never had a co-signer. Never. You know what I mean? So I was never at the mercy of my parents, because like, I feel like there's a lot of people now who are like, oh, my mom co-signed, so I got to keep paying my bills.
Otherwise,
it comes back on her. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad my mother did not care about me. Like, you know what I mean? Because she was like, I'm not doing it.
Right. Next. About her. She didn't want to coming back.
White douchebags.
I got drunk.
Are talking to, what is this saying?
Wait, douchebags or why?
Oh, white douchebags are taking to the internet to complain about their shit cyber trucks. What have you bought that you knew would be shit? Have you seen
Fireball.
The cyber trucks? Fireball.
Every time.
Yeah, I mean, listen. This is you.
I know. I wanted to have fun. And
You're gonna have to sleep on your left side because you're gonna have heartburn tomorrow.
It'll come right out the other side.
Have you seen these cyber trucks?
The one with the pedal, the gas pedal that got stuck. Did you see that?
Yeah, that got lodged underneath the accelerator.
Right. Hey, he's smart.
See, this is This is the kind of.
Aesthetically, you have to admit it looks great.
But no, I don't have to. I do not.
That's insane.
I just don't get with all the EV choices that you have now through regulated car companies.
Yeah. That look like cars.
That look like cars. Yeah. Elon Musk is one of these people that because he's got money, everyone's like, oh, he's smart. You know, this is where it ties into like, oh, someone got on a TV show. That doesn't mean they're talented.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on Elon Musk and him taking over the world with all of his satellites that he's going to turn on and melt us
at some
point?
That's the dangerous part to me is that he is part of the defense industry. That, like,
it's wild.
That's insane. And he should not be.
Like, every time someone takes a picture of a night
communication, another
country. That's what I'm saying. Every time someone takes a picture of the night sky after a rocket launch from SpaceX, and they're like, ooh, ah, I'm like, what satellites are those for?
We're focusing too much on the cars.
Yeah.
In my opinion. The cars feel like a distraction.
And, well, I think that's all coming, falling apart now because, you know, he's.
Because he built.
Well, the stock just went down like crazy with Tesla.
But that's just what he wants, Tony.
It all started. I knew it was going. I knew it was going wrong the moment I saw someone in Chicago in the middle of winter after the Teslas came out posted that they couldn't open their door because it was frozen shut. And I was like, failing company. Like, that's such a, like, at least if you're so cool, Elon, make it so I could just wave my hand and it opens. Come on. Some of that shit is like, you were a fucking nerd in the 80s.
Did you see the
one? You know what I mean? Like,
but he wasn't
like,
even a real nerd. He was a fake nerd. He never had any ideas. He stole all these ideas and he had money.
Yeah. He bought a lot of patents. That's what I had a huge, I had such an argument with
the only thing he invented was changing Twitter, a known brand that became a verb.
And that failed.
To X.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
RIP, I'm off of it. I'm so brave. But, like, I think about it.
It's the only place to get real journalism, sadly, still.
Is that true?
Kinda.
I don't know. I like the talk.
I'm still there.
I like the talk.
I like the talk, too. I just can't understand. I don't know how to work.
But you don't have to understand it. You're a watcher. You're just a weird lurker. Yeah. You're just sit and flip. All right.
I do not. How dare you?
Israel is retaliating.
No.
After Iran retaliated against Israel after they bombed Iran's consulate.
Mm-hmm.
Retaliate is a hard word for Israel. What is a hard word for you?
A hard word for me is moderation.
<Wait a minute. laughs> You know what? You're right.
You gotta know yourself.
It's so funny. It's so funny that, like, that during the time of this show, you're like, you know, hey, you know, money, and it's like, oh, moderation. Just chugging that booze.
$6 for the most fun 30 minutes I've had in a week. And you were a small part of it.
James Fritz, such a pleasure having you on the Tony Soto Show. I love you very much. Do we tell people where they can find you on the social media and if you have a gig coming up or whatnot?
Just find me at jamesfritzcomic.com.
Oh, she's got a website. No one gives the websites. That's great.
I'm elderly.
Yeah, is it Squarespace?
It is, you fucking.
Do you know that? No, I have my website is Squarespace. Do you know that for some reason?
We're working class. It's Squarespace. Still, every year when that yearly bill comes around, I still feel it.
But I had someone design that for me, and I did not know that there was a monthly charge for Squarespace until I did my taxes this year. I was like, oh, no, I always pay monthly. I know.
I can die tomorrow.
I will never pay a chunk of money for anything. Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm. Oh, my God.
Mm-mm. What if I want to change my mind?
What if tomorrow I wake up and don't want a website?
Absolutely. So wait, tell us what's going on.
You can find me at Fritz is Dead on Twitter or Instagram. Instagram. No, but Twitter is, I'm sorry. I like words more than looking at looking at my own face.
We get it. You read books.
It's a way to fight narcissism in this poison culture. Twitter.com. And if you're in LA, my good friend Olivia Grace is taping an album on April 28th. Two tapings at 8 and 10, and I will be opening for her. And she's great, and you should go. You'll have a really good time.
That's great. James is amazing. Y'all listen. Go listen to his comedy.
Oh, I got an album from Olden Times.
That's right. You have an album. Go check it out. Where can they find that? Is it on the iTunes?
All the evil websites.
Is it on the iTunes Spotify's?
Or you can go to aspecialthing.com. And a special thing records, ASTRecords.com, and buy it.
Speaking of a special thing, I am your host, Tony Soto. And if you enjoy me, which you should, because I'm great, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at The Tony Soto Show. And if you want to see what I'm doing in drag, I am Tony Soto Productions on Instagram. And I'm going to be back again next week with Marsha. All right. Goodbye.
Love you.
Love you.